Saturday, August 26th, Sunday, August 27th, TRP weekend, live show starring Mona, after party, Mona, the whole Don't Call Me White Girl crew was popping out with us at Reserve. Make sure y'all are there for that. And then Sunday, we got TRP Nation Brunch. Tickets are starting to actually pick up for that. So shout out to everybody that got y'all tickets already. Go to officialtrpe.com. Grab your tickets to everything. We want to see y'all in attendance in the building, man. Shout out to 14th and Margaret for sponsoring the whole situation and empowering us to do what we do. If you're not on Patreon, get on Patreon right now. 7-day free trial on the VIP tier, patreon.com/officialtrp.
What up, what up? We are back. Hands in the background. By the
I ain't heard Quill.
I'm like, the Quill's up. I knew he was going to hang his shades, so I brung mine. You know what I'm saying?
Cool as shit.
Truth be told, I'm still a little fried from last night. Like, my high keep reactivating itself.
Yeah, your eyes was red as
shit. Yeah, Obama runs is different. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, with that being said, we are here, man.
Can I ask what all the runts mean? Because every week it's Gary Coleman runts.
Bob Saget.
Yeah. Roseanne runts.
Uncle Jesse runts.
The older the better.
Yeah, every week it's a new fucking Layla Rashawn runts. That shit is crazy.
So real quick, 150-second elevator pitch on runts in the history. So prior to, I want to say, like, 2012, 2013, the best weed you could get is, like, Sour Diesel, OG Kush, Kim Dog, GG4. That was, like, the pinnacle. Like, man, we have reached
I loved the weed revolution. I love the purple haze.
Yeah, the haze went away. By that time, though, the haze had, like, bled off or whatever. The original niggas
Sour
been,
was the shit.
Yeah, yeah, Sour was super big.
No, Sour for Huntington. Shout out to my man, for Huntington.
So, at that point, there came this new weed, Gelato. And the Gelato was the first new strain that didn't have OG Kush or like GG4 or Kim Dog as the parent strains or whatever. Okay. They crossbred some other shit to create the Gelato. And the Gelato became the basis of all of the sweeter smelling gas weed that came after that, which immediately after the Gelato, you had 67 Gelato crosses, Gelato 41, Gelato 33, Larry Bird, and Lotto number 6, Dr. J, just all this fucking...
Most of it's bullshit.
Most of it was bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, it was because once you get past the initial crop, say if it's 60 pounds or whatever that initially grow, once you start crossbreeding off of those plants, it's called a slice. So it's basically like you start to lose some of the overall ingredients after the first plant or whatever. It starts to be harder to replicate as you go out. And as you start to slice it down and start to lose ingredients, like, or be said, a lot of that shit was bullshit. And then the first thing that came completely different, even in the Gelato, was the runt shit. And it was really like a purple something crossed with ice cream cake, whatever, whatever. And the guy, Young LB, was the only one in Oakland that had the shit. He was like, yo, this shit smell like some candy. I'm going to call it runts. Mm-hmm. So then runts became the new standard where they crossed the runts, the original first two, three runts, white runts, pink runts, the original runts, they used that as a basis to cross with all this other shit that created the gumbos and all the Backpack Boys strains and all of that shit.
Chad, I don't even want to ask you how you know all that shit.
I'm deep in the cannabis community.
That nigga said, he said like the wood off the wood. Remember that shit?
I remember when it was just Dro. And you had to use your key to dig it out the jar. Yeah. No, give me a key, bro. Like, I remember
that was
that
the most
shit.
Powerful weed, the shit that was in the jar.
The caskets.
Yeah, the weed so strong, had to put it in glass jars.
Little butterfly tops on the jar. Good times, man.
The gumbo jar.
Good times. But we got some special guests in the building, man. These guys right here, you know, I look at them like family, man. They like my younger brothers. They some big old players. They got a super duper dope podcast that's like really moving and making a lot of noise and shit. You know, I like to take a little bit of credit for it. You know,
a lot of credit. Fuck that.
I pieced off and gave them a lot of game, and they took the shit and ran with it. They didn't, you know, secure guests and stuff that even I can't get. Goddamn, man. You know what I'm saying? Show a young nigga something, and they surpassed the master. But I'm super proud of these guys. They got a live show coming up this week, this Saturday at City Winery. It is sold out. They sold that joint out in like a smooth 3-4 weeks. Literally not fake sold out. Like every single ticket is sold out. We tried to add standing room. They told me to eat shit. But that's a whole nother story. You know what I'm saying? So y'all just going to have to catch us on the
next. Are you going to be there like producing the
thing? Absolutely.
Can I come?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday night, City Winery. We in this thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm in charge. I'm producing.
Yeah, because I just want to see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like y'all, I know y'all. just want to see him as like the coordinator being an asshole.
Hey, love, what the fuck is this?
what the fuck is this?
On the stage? I might get no free publicity off this. What the fuck is going on?
Remember the Martin when he became the play director? I had a beret on.
Yo.
That nigga came back with a beret on and an ascot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm drawing on everybody.
He had the bullhorn and shit.
Martin's in the way, yo.
That's what he was talking about, the being a thespian.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the Romeo and Juliet. I'm talking about when he was doing the play at the senior center. He was snapping on Tommy and Cole and shit. Martin was a straight
Tommy Cole.
Remember Gina and Pam was trying to sing. Martin, let me hear it. Yo. Sing from your stomach, girl. Bar an idiot.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm super duper proud of these guys, man. And you know, once we get all this network stuff together, I'm gonna just say it on air. I want y'all to be the first show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Part of the new TRP network that we launching very, very soon, man. But we got RB, we got Mark, collectively known as Let's Keep It 100 podcast. We're gonna clap it up.
Straight up.
That's the classic thing, you know, they baked in, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a playback speaker to play it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we good.
But what's good with y'all fellas, man? Today is not an interview. We just here, like, just chatting, just kicking and shit, just hanging out.
Bullshit.
Look at it almost like a stream. Dan's in the back, smoking crack. You know what I'm saying? Got a little
bro,
bit of a studio audience.
Too much hookah, man.
No.
I don't smoke no hookah, bro.
Well, good for you. I think I'm going to take a stand today.
He got mad as we said, back to the hookah room.
I'm on the platform. Let me tell you niggas something.
While I'm here, since y'all going to give me a voice to speak, I'll tell you niggas what I believe.
No hookah.
What's your gripe with the hookah?
I mean, it's cool to do, you know. It definitely, the chicks love it.
Yeah.
How many hookahs you got at your house?
Like three.
Big old player.
Chick just got mad every time. All right, why the fuck is it a hookah tip under your couch? Bitch, why are you looking under my couch?
He on some different type of investigative journalism.
Mark was at the crib, so we just, but everything that happened, I blame it on him.
Blame it on
him.
Everything on me. I just got to take the.
That's an underrated part of a friendship. It's good to have a fall guy. I used to be the fall guy for all my homies.
I'm always the fall guy.
Me and my homies out getting into some nefarious activities, partying some hoes. Oh, man, Chad Carver.
Or it's like you just become the bad guy. Like, he make me the bad guy. Like, he put all the bad shit on me. I don't want you fucking hanging with RB. He be doing this and doing. I'm like, yo, I don't even do that shit. He said I be doing that. I'm putting that shit all on you, big old player.
But you need a good wingman. He a great wingman.
Definitely a good wingman.
We just had a great time out of Miami.
Last minute,
you know, got invited. 2 days before the trip.
He tells him, come on, bro, let's get off. I'm like, I got to get off work.
Book the trip real quick. How we get? I had some Amex points.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Amex. We ain't playing for no rooms.
Got some Amex points. I mean, like, that's a big
and
thing.
And I put him on
the
Amex.
Well, look, that's a big thing we're going to talk about on a live show. My goal is to make somebody walk out. I want to say certain shit, but it's like, it's going to be from the heart. I want people to do better. Because it's like, you know, you got regular homies around the way, bro. Can I just slide you the $30 and get the ticket? Mm-hmm. Nigga, you don't got a debit or credit card to order the shit.
Nigga, Russell Simmons.
I don't know if you know, but Uncle Russ is in Bali.
You niggas ain't got credit cards and debit cards. Like, buy a fucking ticket, man. Oh, God, bro, that shit is.
They overdrafted like a motherfucker.
Like, fuck check systems. You in bank systems. Yeah, bro, you niggas, can't get in no bank.
Niggas going out bad, but we booked the last minute flight, flew out there, had the time of our life. Wound up leaving me. I stayed an extra day or two.
Chasing.
Was it a day or two?
A day or two.
Two. That nigga stayed.
You sound like a lying ass.
I asked because I've been on them trips before where it's like, I'm staying. There's too much pussy in the atmosphere. I'm here.
I woke up, this nigga told some Mark, I'm staying. I said, you staying? That one part of the plan. He said, nigga, I got a new plan.
What'd he say? I got action. Omaha.
Yo, them Jones, you go somewhere with your people. Y'all plan a trip where y'all leave Friday and y'all come back Monday, and Monday morning he like, you really leaving?
Yeah.
And you like, nigga, the airport.
Bro,
the flight is 10:57.
We already had our flights and everything.
Like, bro, I couldn't even believe that I stayed.
He was cursing me out. He told him, Mark, you left me.
I had to do what I had to do.
Nigga, I had to leave. I got work. I'm a responsible.
Mission was completed though.
Yeah, you big old player.
Sometimes you gotta finish your breakfast. Yeah. Yeah, I remember once upon a time, man, when I was still promoting, we did Philly to DC weekend. It was me, Eli, who worked for Cavassier now, and Terramana and all of that. think it's Terramana. I don't know. One of them tequilas. Mikey O, like a bunch of different people or whatever. And we went down. I came down, I think, Saturday afternoon. Supposed to be there Saturday, Sunday, leave on Monday. Monday rolled around. I look at who I'm with. I'm thinking about all this good pussy I've been getting all weekend. I'm like, I ain't going home yet.
He said, nah, put your mom on the phone.
I left that hotel, went and got a Marriott form from Mikey O, went and switched hotel. The next day, Tuesday, I wake up. I ain't ready to go home.
When it gets to the point where you got a whole new team, like, like the original team where you came with.
You said you met a whole new team.
Another regime.
I didn't leave till Wednesday. Like, I'm supposed to leave Monday. I left Wednesday evening. I was like, let's just go bus boys and poets. This like, I was not trying to go home. I was having too much fun.
My first time in Vegas was like that, where it was just like I was in go mode and then didn't want to bounce. Like, it's just, it's too much.
I've never been.
I ain't do this. I ain't do that. Yeah, it's just too much shit going on.
Let me stay and let me enjoy this shit.
Vegas back at least back in the day. That prostitution. That shit was
nigga,
like,
as soon as you get on the flight, they hand you a card.
I'm talking about you at the hotel at the desk. They used to have the flyers on the counter.
I ain't got no rap. I was tricking like a motherfucker. Ain't no pride. Ain't no shame in my game. I was tricking in Vegas.
But it's promoted. That's what I'm saying.
You gotta do it.
Like, it ain't like taboo. Like, it's literally like.
Yeah, if you don't support the prosties and the call girls, you're disturbing the natural economy. Yeah.
That's the money.
The natural order. Like, you fucking that up. Ozone is fucked up. Yeah, like, you go to the counter at the hotel and it's like, you know, Red Lobster. Samantha. Like, it's like
brochures. Like $9.99 buffet. Yeah.
Picking out everything.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, man.
But no, shout out to y'all, man. Y'all really got it started, though. Y'all really got, y'all, I listened to y'all show. Y'all got me through the pandemic. And I was like, damn. I said, I called him. I said, RB. I said, yo, man, we could do this shit, bro. We really can. You know, he been doing it, but I'm like, yo, we could really do it. And then ever since then, we took off. But y'all really like our big motivation. So I really appreciate that.
Straight up. Listen, I think our pandemic run, that's a part of our trajectory when we do an interview. We've been doing a ton of content lately, me and him together and stuff, which we not, usually it's him or me or not really always both of us. But we've been doing a ton of content outside of TRPE together and telling our story. And because we've been living this shit, we've been missing all of these moments. So it's like one interview, these set of moments come up. Another interview, these set of moments come up. We never talk about our pandemic run and how that pushed us into like a different audience. Like, because
y'all got more followers.
Because we got a ton more followers. Mm-hmm. And that was like 1 year after we had started our Patreon. 1 year later, rather, we started our Patreon. So that pandemic run was the precursor to a lot of like success and a lot of momentum that we had coming through that shit. Because like fucking Blue Card Chronicles and Glizzy Mania and all of that was the pandemic. Like all of that shit. Like we was on it. We didn't miss a week.
Oh yeah, my man started Glizzy too. He started that word.
Yeah.
Him.
Not like. We just was referring to Glizzy's as hot dogs. Pause. Because we used to be drunk as shit and late night just go to the gas stations and just be, bro. Pause, like just drawing with the glizzy.
Man, after that, I just seen Jim Jones start saying that shit. Everybody started saying like it.
Shot glizzy and I'm been.
Yeah, that glizzy shit.
Right, right. Referring it to it as hot dogs.
Bro. Yeah.
Bro, why you even bring that up?
Yeah, that was pretty random.
What the fuck? You always on some spicy shit.
Yo, no. Fuck that. This nigga trying. No.
You mean. Bro. All right, so what y'all gonna do if y'all out in a spicy cuz send drink show away?
I'm leaving the table.
Bro, like, spicy that's cuz sent them a
that's
drink.
That's his table now. Bro.
That shit ain't happening like that.
Ain't
funny. This is some bullshit. So
listen, this is a true story.
I'm about to... Let me finish
the story.
So look, we out.
Where were y'all at?
The loft.
We were at the loft.
You been to the loft?
Okay. I didn't know if y'all was at somewhere that was like a...
No.
We had the loft in Man... No.
A mixed media location. Because
you go to somewhere like a Sampan or...
Don't send me no drink on my mouth east.
Listen, all I know is we had the loft in Manny Young. We buying some chicks, some shots or whatever. And they... rounds going around. And Spicy Cuz, send the drinks over. I don't originally know where the drinks coming from. Yeah. I just see drinks coming over, and I see Spicy Cuz raising the joint like,
He saw it. He did that shit to him.
I'm like, no. Like, take that back. Before I could say take that back, I turn around. He from
He's
there.
No, no.
So I'm like, no, nah, man, that's his confirmation of, oh, yeah. It's see, bro, you
it's like a state. They said don't put no peanut, don't take none off your bed. No honey bun in none of your bed. No.
You
pass me the joint, tell me, yo, bro, drink that shit. I'm not paying it no mind. My back, sir. Man, the whole time, man.
Up like that, honestly.
So what happened?
Oh, you drunk that shit, bro. You doing too much, bro. You just want some
nasty shit, man. It would definitely be a cause for concern, yeah. I guess.
It'll question me, because it's like, why you think I'm spicy? Like,
what's in the
that's where I was about to say next. Honestly, and I can't even believe we're discussing
this. Yeah, this is...
But yeah, have you ever been cracked on by a guy?
No.
Yeah, I had that happen to me. On the bus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like... Yeah,
they going to try.
I guess it kind of equates
don't
to...
Don't try to make it seem like that shit normal.
No, that's what I was about to say. I guess ahead. It equates to, like, us speaking to a woman. Like, where you going to... You see something you like that catches it, yeah. Your eye. You like, oh, like, hey, how you doing? And she'll be like, nah, I ain't interested. Now, the situation with the bus, I was being nice.
Right.
Because I thought this nigga needed information.
Just give him customer service.
Right. Yeah. And it was like, but he was saying little shit that I just wasn't
catching,
like.
Because you're not into that. You don't know. Like,
you don't speak the lingo.
Yeah, you don't speak the lingo.
You're not on the group chat.
Yeah.
Or the email distribution list.
But I remember he was trying to get to South Street. So he had rode down the front market at the end of the line. He was like, I was like, yeah, you could just go back up to 4th and take the 57 down to.
You're just helping him. Yeah.
And he was like, we was in the line. He's like, you care if I go smoke a cigarette? I'm like, yeah, whatever do you think? So I got off the bus and then I went to the bathroom. As I came out, I was like, my beard was longer at the time, but I was picking my beard. And he was like, yeah, you got the Rick Ross joint going. And I was just like, yeah, you know, whatever. I've heard that before. So it was just like, whatever. And he was just like, yo, you real helpful. I appreciate you with all everything. I was like, you know, doubt, whatever. He was like, you got a number. And I was like, 7. Cause that's my favorite. I thought niggas probably was playing lottery. I didn't know what the fuck. I was just like, he's like, no, like a phone number. I'm like, the customer service number is on the back of the bus.
You want my number. Your number.
Yeah. And then that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, no, nah,
no.
Nah.
Oh,
that's like the Martin zone when main cuz is coming at him. He's like, what's your almond these stuff?
The DV.
He's so almond.
He the crazy part. He was like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm here in town for the next 2 days. Just, you know. And I'm just like, I ain't a jump off, nigga.
You want to date me?
Yeah, we got to go on a date or something. I'm like,
you going to take me to 4 Seasons. What the fuck wrong with you, Jack?
He just assumed you was easy, motherfucker.
Fuck wrong with you, Jack?
Yo.
Man, you had a weirdest shit happen on the bus, man. Straight up.
Oh, God. That shit is bad, bro. Yeah. A lady pulled her titties out on me one day, said, I will fuck the shit out you. I was like, whoa. Get out of here, lady.
I had a white lady.
When you told her exactly the time to get up.
Yeah, like, what line did you on?
The 89. I know that because it's
I remember a white lady got on the 9 in Roxborough. She, like, got, like, this. She was like, you are absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, thank you. She was like, no, your skin is so rich and so dark. It's like velvet. I was like, yeah, this is the creepiest shit I've ever heard.
Yo, why women don't think that we get creeped out by some of the shit they do, bro?
Yo, that like, shit.
Sometimes you know, it's funny, overly aggressive.
It's funny. Remember I was telling you the group chat I was in? I was telling them, I'm like, women have this thing where, like, they talk about men and men not being able to handle rejection, which is technically true.
Yeah.
But if you ever reject a woman,
they might kill you. They might smoke you.
They be looking at you like, pussy. Nigga, what?
Yeah.
Like, she might
nigga,
smoke you.
What? And
you know, I turn them down all the time.
This nigga, they be in my DM.
Cool, like,
he too cool. They be in my DM. Nah, like, they like, tell your friend I said what's up. I'm sitting in. Yo,
they
bro.
Be monsters, though. Like, they like something like this.
No, but here go the thing. Women have, because women get cracked on all day. Nigga hold the door at Walgreens.
What's your number, baby?
Yeah, you know, if nigga, you need some help with that? Yeah. Like, everything is.
Let me take you home.
Yeah, everything is that. For men, it's not necessarily true on the flip side. So when a woman who gets that all goddamn day long where she got to basically block out, you know, women is playing defense essentially all day.
Right.
For a woman to basically get the rock and have to like go on offense, mm-hmm. and she on a 20, you know what I'm saying? She looking at your dumb ass like, what the fuck is you doing?
Are you just going to turn me down like that? That shit is crazy. Oh, yeah. Women is creepy though. That shit, this one lady, she scared the shit out of me.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. You know what happened? Because society has like flipped a little bit. That has flipped too. And you know, I was having a conversation with like a couple guys recently, and it's like men are like afraid to approach women now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, you of don't, like Me Too.
And get canceled.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
So it's like, I know a lot of men who are dead ass like, yo, it's a dynamic now that is like totally, do you remember back in the day, cat calling an ear? Like, yeah. That shit is like kind of out.
Yeah, blow the horn, dude.
Nigga on 95. Yeah.
It's all over.
Pull over.
Fuck you, the cops.
Pull that shit over, man. I was that young boy. I'm jumping out of the car.
Yo, straight up. They're gonna pull a bitch over on the turnpike.
Oh, no, Menace to Society came, blocked her in the parking spot, and hopped up.
Yeah.
Come on, you almost hit me. Nigga, you ain't supposed to be behind me.
Crazy as shit. It's so scary. So
because of the way things have changed now, you got men that are just like,
I ain't saying shit.
I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's flipped it so much that women now have become aggressive.
Yeah, they real aggressive.
Situation. Like, women, dead ass. Some of the shit women say, you be looking like, damn, you really done bad.
I can't get a nigga at all.
No respect.
You can't
get a nigga at all.
They're aggressive you got when, going they packs. When they in packs, they really aggressive.
Yo,
that's when they like, shoot their shit.
I was in Wawa. The girl came around the door. She was like, oh, damn, you strong. I know you can pick me up. I was like, yo, if I said this shit to a bitch,
you go to jail.
Hello, you to police.
He said, what you say?
Police.
Straight up.
Bro, that shit's so bad. Like when a chick grabbed Busta Rhymes' ass and he threw the drink on her. If Busta Rhymes or whoever grabbed the chick ass,
yeah,
on the job,
yeah, you go
grab Ice Spice ass.
Yeah.
It's over. We ain't gonna make it on the show. It's over.
I ain't that horny though.
I remember one time this chick talking about being aggressive. This one chick jumped in my DM and she wasn't particularly, she wasn't particularly attractive or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she was talking to me like she knew me. She jumped in my DM like, where you at? Meet me at such and such right now on Lancaster Avenue. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like
what is going on here? And then I was like, what you mean? She like, no, because I'm saying like, where you at? I'm trying to run into you. And I'm just like, ma'am, I don't know you.
You scaring me. What you going to do to me?
Scaring the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't know what you going to do.
She like 6'4", 260.
That might have been that boy named Daryl.
What is going on here?
The voice like my dad.
I had to block her ass. Like, yo, ma'am, what? I had to turn into Muslata Bay. You ain't getting none of this,
but. Remember that?
You ain't getting none of this. Dude, that's sick, bro. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just a different dynamic now. The computer and the you know, people put more emphasis on the, yo. It's a show I watch, and I told him about it. It's like about cops that are like, but it's like a new age cop show. So it's like not the way NYPD Blue or Law and Order. You know how those shows focus on a storyline. Yeah. This shit focuses on them and who they
like their life, like their lifestyle. Right. Okay.
But the girl, she's a cop, rookie cop. She's like young. She's like 23. And she met a guy. She basically is trying to date. So she's on like the dating profiles or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she met a guy who she liked. She met him through like one of their police calls. Mm-hmm. And he liked her the same. He's young. And neither one of them know how to interact. Because they're both on like the apps. Like the what's they called? The Bumbles
and all that shit.
The
dating app.
But they don't know how to interact with each other. That's and great. her training officer is, he's an old head. He like, he look like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why the fuck one of y'all don't just say? Like, they both don't know how to speak. And I'm just like, damn,
the internet.
We're gonna get to that point in life where it's like interaction is like out.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah. You gotta think about it now. This shit happen all the time. You be out, a girl slide right in your DM. Yo, I seen you at the party last night. Why you ain't say nothing? Or you be looking at the joint like, damn, should I? Yeah, or you'll go like all they pictures.
On the cop show, you remember y'all watch The Wire?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Burrell, the cop, the major?
Yeah, Burrell.
The major of crime.
Yeah.
Burrell for the heavyset black boy. Mm-hmm. I think his name is Faison something or whatever. But he's the grandfather on the show. Niecy Nash is his daughter, big ass titties,
and she got a
daughter. So he's the grandfather. So the daughter, she go to UCLA. She brought the boy home like for like dinner. They like, who is this? And she like, it's my new boyfriend or whatever. But he clearly not in college. He clearly like 28. Like, he's clearly grown as shit.
She like 21.
She like 19, 20 in college. So Niecy Nash and the grandpa Burrell from The Wire, they looking at him or whatever. So Niecy Nash was like, everything he's saying is like new shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand what he's saying. So she was like, so I heard that you work at the, is it the mall? He was like, oh no, that's Cat. I like, what?
You mean that's Cat?
And the grandfather was like, you sell caps?
Just so disengaging this shit.
So then she was like, so what classes do you take at the university? He was like, oh, no, I don't go to school. I just live on campus for the vibes. And the grandpa was like, what vibes?
He said, granddaughter is the vibes.
Yeah. He said, no, I'm just on campus for the vibes. I'm like, living on campus.
Easy access to the neckage.
Yo, man. I never did that. I never, like, met no chick parents.
You never met no chick
parents? I met a bunch of parents.
What do you mean you never met a chick parent?
Like, going to meet parents? Like,
I've met parents. I've met parents.
Have you ever been in, like, a serious relationship?
Once.
Yeah, I've met parents on a formal and an informal joint. Like, I met parents, like,
by accident.
I'm coming to the cookout. You know what I'm saying?
By accident.
Yeah, by accident. Who's like, this? Oh, we having a cookout Saturday, my family, and I get there, and I'm like, oh, you got a dad? This is different. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm not used to women having fathers and shit.
Right,
you know
no
what
bullshit.
I'm saying? We had a whole lost era of, like, 15 years. Nobody had a dad.
No
so
bullshit.
It's like, I've met parents like that. I've formally met people, parents, and shit like that. I've been in the crib chilling, trying to get some neck, and then their parents come home. Like, I've met parents in every scenario.
I didn't meet no parents until I had babies with these chicks. That's when I met their parents.
My kids?
Don't even seem like it, don't it?
Yeah, man. Irresponsible. I was a very irresponsible kid.
He's a fucking jerk. He got a set of twins out here. He don't take care of.
19, 20, 21. Got it out the way. Yeah. But I never met no parents until like I had kids. I didn't even know these chicks' last name.
But he had babies.
I was just a wild young boy, but.
He was cursing.
This shit sound like scared straight.
it's a cautionary tale. Yeah. Like,
bro, everybody used to talk shit, grind me up. Then them, but I'd rather have my kids early, get that shit out of the way.
He was wishing that shit on me for so long. He like, yo, I hope you get twins, bitch. He used to call me all the time.
He was running his movie.
Bro, I ain't got no kids.
Man,
I was 30.
I can't go out right now. I ain't got no money. I got my papers and shit. I got to stay in the crib. I got to do what I got to do.
At least that's admirable that you're doing it, though. At least you didn't have kids and just that you had them.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do what you got to do. Like, motherfuckers going to grind you up.
Yeah,
we hold each other accountable.
I mean, that's what you should. Amongst all the nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not. I ain't gonna say I'm the best dad, but I try, bro. I try to do the best I can.
Oh boy,
and I ain't got no choice, nigga. I pay child support. Get that shit off the top.
What's something that fatherhood has taught you, especially being like a young father?
That shit taught me love.
Yeah.
I don't know. I ain't know nothing about love. I ain't grow up. I always say I got a loving mother, but she displayed it. She never said it. My mom never really, only time I told my mom I loved her was when she bought me the toys I wanted on Christmas. I ain't never, we didn't grow up going to school and give you a kiss and say you love me. First time I'm really, like, seeing real love, bro, is when my daughters call me on a FaceTime. All right, daddy, we love you. Mm-hmm. That shit be real. I feel that shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, they the only, like, the kids is the only people I say I love you to. I'm trying to, like, that's making me open up more and, you know, start saying I love you like my pop. This nigga just came home. He did, like, a dime. We was gang warned before he went to jail. And he, you know, when them niggas come from jail, they be super sensitive. And he, like, 50.
Yeah, yeah.
This nigga cried to me, telling me how much he loved me and shit. And I had just gave him some bread. So I don't
know what that made a difference. Hey, like,
how much longer I got to talk to get this in 750?
But it felt real, though. It felt real, bro. It felt real.
He paid for that love.
Tell him this new bitch, I'm going to try to milk it for you. Next time I'm getting married. I'm getting married.
He gave it before. What did you mean? The four just came out. I didn't even ask. He just gave me that.
He gave me the four in the script. I know I can get him out
the
script.
The nigga was reaching out to me every day. He never asked me for nothing, bro. And I just, I'm going to help you out. You my pop, bro. You just trying to get back on your feet and all that. But that nigga was telling me how much he loved me and all that. But I couldn't really, like, say it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not used to that shit, bro. Like, I'm not. Like, girls always come at me like, you too tough. You trying to fake your feelings. I don't know how to do that shit. Yeah. I'm learning. But the kids taught me, bro.
So if I got to diagnose you, I would say that you emotionally shut off. But the good news is, it's something that can be fixed. Because I was like that a lot. I would be outwardly expressive with my love, but I was lying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Cherry Shock is a pussy.
Cherry Shock is a pussy.
I love you, girl.
Because how do you keep a hoe faithful? At least in a small window, if you don't tell her you love her.
Your hair sticking up. Yeah, you know, like that.
Every now and again, you get a piece of pussy that's so good that you like, yo, I just want this for myself, at least for 3 months. So you might got to lie to a whore to keep her faithful. You know what I'm saying?
My biggest issue was I was like too nice to bad people.
That's me. I'm super nice.
I existed in a world where it was the total opposite of what you said. So I thought everything was like that.
Thought everything was love.
I thought that, like, every morning before I left, I got a, I love you, have a good day. Yeah. You know, my dad called me, all right, love you, boy, be good. You need anything? Like, it was like that. And then you get out in the world and you with your homies, you like, I love you, boy. He just like, all right, nigga. And what the fuck no? Or you get around the bitch, you like, damn, I love you. And she just like,
you wear the shit.
Yeah. Did you get them Pumas I told you to get?
The Dream Chaser Pumas. Yeah,
the Dream Chaser Pumas, bitch. It's just like, all right, like you and you kind of see life from the other side to where it's like, not emotionally shut off, but you more so just like,
giving.
Damn, is anybody like honest?
Like me?
Or
is
real?
Somebody like me? That's what it really is.
That shit is real. You don't meet many people out here that are just like
genuine.
Kind as fuck.
It's genuine.
And I genuinely thought that's just how life was supposed to be.
I'm still
true story. Like I say it, I say it on this show all the time. That's my one, and I'm not knocking my pop, my mom. They did excellent. But it's like, I wish we would have saw some like
that's
carnage.
What I was about to ask you. Like, do you feel like your folks should have prepped you a little more? Like, all right, we got him too sheltered a little bit. We got
no, because I wasn't like, sheltered because I knew of everything. You hear in my
knowledge.
You ain't
had no poor cousins?
I know. Like, we had one cousin that was on drugs, but he even was like, you know, the functioning drug addict.
I'm going to go to work now.
I'm going to go to work.
I control the narcotics. The narcotics don't control me.
We did have a cousin that was on drugs, but he had a nice house. He was a contractor. And I remember he had like an act legend. He had a Maxima when they first was like the hottest shit.
Nigga ain't
like,
no real drug addict.
Yeah, no, he wasn't like barefoot dancing and shit.
He just like to get high.
Yeah, he's one of those. Yeah, basically beer don't do nothing for me no more.
Yeah,
so
I need to get
elevated
a little high
to crack a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like but yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we just existed in a space of like everyone was married, everyone had a job, everyone
structure. That was real structure.
Super structured. There was nobody like fucked off or stealing or getting locked up. Like that shit just didn't exist. So when I came outside and you realize like, I can remember this. I was so like I guess green. Mm-hmm. I remember meeting a kid, he was in my class, right? His last name was Jackson, right? And I remember going to his house and meeting his mom. And I'm like, hey, Miss Jackson, nice to meet you.
You don't fucking
and mean. She like, oh no, my last name is Davidson. I'm like, is that your mom?
Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy, though. Remember that?
Because in my young mind, if your last name is Johnson, your mom is Miss Johnson, and your dad is Mr. Johnson, I didn't even know that you had different last names and shit
like that. For me.
I'm not trying to be funny. So that, I remember seeing that and was just like,
the fuck?
So... You was adopted.
You trying to figure that shit out?
Yeah, like I'm trying to put this shit together.
So that's really your aunt, but you called her mom.
She adopted you when you was 3, right?
My mama got a baby daddy.
Yeah. I didn't know that people had like homes where like they brothers wasn't a total brother.
Yeah, I'm
or
like,
they sister wasn't a total sister.
They
had different dads.
Yeah.
And, like that shit just didn't exist.
Yeah, I mean,
for us.
I'm not used to that either. Like, so, shout out, you mean, but shout out to my mom because we all got the same pop.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, I came outside and I really like, damn, you really see it. Like,
that's,
you know, there ain't like households out this joint.
That's
you
fucked
know?
Up. Yeah.
Like that should be crazy, honestly.
Yeah,
like
no
seriously.
Bullshit.
And you know, one thing I will say is it seems like black people have gotten to a place of wanting to get that structure back. I read an article today where it was saying how this generation of dads are more hands-on than any generation before.
Yeah.
They were saying
media,
they
man.
Did a survey in 2000 and I think it was 2003, 20 years ago, and it was saying how the percentage of dads when they did that survey who full-on knew how to change a baby was 3%. Shit. And now it's over 58%. Right. Like, that's crazy to think. Like, just 20 years ago, like, dad's dead ass didn't even know how to change diapers. I
never
changed
a shitty diaper.
I'm going to be honest with y'all. Back in there, you 42%.
You fucked it up. I changed a diaper. I know how to change a diaper, though.
I'm not changing no shitty diaper.
It's just hard, though. No, it's, like, hard, though, because I'm a new dad. So that shit, like kind of.
I've done shit, it, but it's not, shit. Like, yeah, like, come on, help me. Like,
yeah, you got to, yeah, just do it.
You see me struggling. I have nieces. I've never changed a diaper or anything just because. I don't really get down with kids. And two, I'm being honest. I just, even with the idea of us having a kid, I have big hands and I'm afraid to touch them. Small. Like that shit just, it feels like I'm gonna break some shit. Mm-hmm. Even when I would pick my niece up, I would feel like, yo, this is.
But it's natural though. When it's your kid, it's like, it come natural.
My dad did tell me that when they, because I was the firstborn, he was like, yeah, you know, the first kid, it's like, you're delicate. Yeah, overly delicate.
Yeah, so you
it's like, can you do this? Can you do that? Like, he's like, we were like so soft with you. And he's like, my sisters, they was 4 years at me, his twins. He was like, with the girls, we was throwing them in the tub. Get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah, because at that point, you like, no, you know what to do.
Yeah, you know what to do. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what it is. Yeah, that shit. Being a new dad, though, that shit rough, bro. Yeah. It's rough. Like, I waited a long time. I said, damn, I'm going to wait. But now it's just like, I'm still getting to learn.
Planned or unplanned.
Planned it.
Unplanned.
I'm gonna be Jay.
I was at day and night drinking Patron. My baby mom called me, said, I'm drinking Patron. She said, let's make a baby tonight. And we really made a baby. She said, I ain't getting no abortion. I said, fuck. I said, damn, I had to step up and be a dad.
That's when the dirty talk get too real.
Yeah, that shit was real. That shit was
like. I'm probably gonna be like Jay-Z, like 58.
I'm on the same path, nigga. I'm 40. No kids. What's up?
Oh, y'all ain't got no kids. Oh, y'all going out like Al Pacino.
No voice.
68.
It's cool. My mom and dad had me old, though, so y'all be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to have a kid. Me and my girl talking about I probably have a kid in like 2 years. Me and her going to get married, but we're going to have a kid or whatever, like 2 years.
So
she, at that point, she's going to be 29. I'm going to be like 42 at that point or whatever like that. Then I'm going to be like that old dad, 58, wearing like Gucci sweatsuits and shit. Picking my kid up from school and shit like that. Like, man, you're pop, you're old here flying shit.
Yeah, I think people focus more on certain things than what need be. Like, the house needs structure more than anything.
It do.
Like, to be all the way fair, like, living with women will change your life.
Fucking right.
Like, yo, I'll be honest with you, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, I go over my friend's house that, like, don't live with women. I'll be like, yo, this is the most miserable shit I've ever seen.
What it be looking like?
Nigga got a slither of soap on the jersey. Like, that's your soap.
Nigga got nicks of soap in the back.
Chad been in my crib 2 times. That nigga ain't got nowhere to sit.
Dog.
I'm just lean in the corner. I'm at the laptop at the kitchen, at the island in the kitchen in the corner.
You don't got no bar stools, no nothing. We just stand out
there. Yo, nice, man. Nice spot.
That's why you thought this couch was bigger.
Yo,
he don't know
it was crazy because I was like cleaning the bathroom one day, and I'm trying to get better at that because women can clean the shit out of a bathroom. What? Every woman.
That's they love this shit.
Women clean the bathroom better than any man could ever. No, and I'm trying to get better at it, but I was like cleaning the bathroom and I'm just like looking at the shit that we have in there and I'm just like, yo, I ain't buying none of this shit. But it's like, how the fuck did we get like peroxide? Like,
how did this shit get in there?
How did this shit get in? Like, when you live with women, that shit, like you look at the kitchen sink and it's like dish soap, hand soap, then it's the white oxy soap to clean the pans.
Washcloths.
And dry cloths.
And sponges. Bro, the Brillo on the other side.
Bro, the girls bring all that shit and leave that it. When you was a kid, you ain't know what it was for. Yeah, like, what the fuck is this
At men, like my homies who like live by themselves, they come over my crib and say shit like, damn, you got a lot of ketchup. He's like, what? Because you got 2 bottles in the cabinet and a jar.
Get out my cabinet. Get the fuck out.
Nigga surviving off packets of ketchup from fucking
oldest
Fiesta
shit.
Pizza.
You ain't dark red.
You really be keeping packets.
Yo, you go to your homie's crib, you're like, let me get a fork. You hear the plastic ripping? Yeah, take the fork. And you're just like, dog, what the fuck? Why you ain't got no silverware?
I
can't eat no steak with no spork, nigga.
You got paper plates?
Like Long Island Sisters. You eat a big ass T-bone with a sport.
No bullshit. Dog,
when you see men that don't live, it just be like, yo, I like not trying to be funny. Women be having body scrubs, motherfucking that the shampoo, nigga. It's all kinds of argan oil and butterfly semen and just all that shit in there. Like, that shit is crazy. When you go to a man crib to live by himself, bro, he got samples of
everything. He got one bottle of Perk Plus from the 90s.
Now he got them Paul Mitchells from the hotel.
Like, sorry. Nigga about to make me step my game. I didn't get my shit together. No, but Shorty did just clean the shit out of my crib. Like, what I say when we was at the gym? It's I said, yo, she over there. Shit out the crib right now. He's I said I purposely left some shit out because she got OCD. Purposely left just shit all over the place.
My man said he met a chick and he was like, we was vibing a little bit. We started kicking it. He was like, I realized I ain't really like her, but she cleaned his crib real
good. I love you, girl.
So he was like, I just was like, yo, like, can I just like hire you to clean the crib?
Yo, bro,
and then, you know, he's like, yeah, I got her where like she cleaned the crib naked. And you know, I give her 200. He's like, it's good money. He's fighting, all right? Still getting hit. I don't know. I don't get into that nigga business.
But, man, that's a good joint, though.
But no, it's that you like women bring just a balance. And then, you know, you can't really worry about life off into shit without that. Like, mm-hmm. You have to have that shit. Like,
I don't let chicks come back if they can't make my bed. If you get out this bed and you just
walk up. I'll be honest with you. I'm not crazy about the bed.
No, baby. Fuck that. If you got you, you roll out this motherfucker.
I know motherfuckers that are it's crazy because when it comes to my crib, I'm real like anal about certain things being in order, certain things, but like the bed being, I don't really care because I'm gonna unmake it. Like, and I'm not one of them people that got like I hate the 17 pillows and the I don't give a fuck about
that. Yeah, that shit crazy.
So y'all recommend living with a woman.
Say it again.
Like, y'all advocate living with a woman.
I mean, yeah, I think you should. One, for just understanding women, like the balance that is men and women together. But then two, also where it's just like, it'll change your life. You know what I'm saying? You'll really understand, like, oh, okay, I see the difference in sugars. I see why you would use light brown as opposed to dark brown. Right. I see that. Yeah. Seriously.
No, bro, I can't live with nobody. I got it. Like, I don't know. I'm still shaking and moving out here, so I want to live how I want to live.
You want like a bachelor?
Yeah, like, I can't.
Living that,
eating Lunchables.
Coach Greg Adams on the go. Calls it the free agent lifestyle.
Yeah.
Free agent lifestyle.
The ball. Somebody yesterday was like, he's like, my girl keep talking about she want to go to that shit she see on Instagram where the food be floating in the pool. This nigga had a Lunchable floating in the tub.
Yo, that's wild.
I can't stop laughing. It was a Lunchable float.
Awful.
Silly as shit, man. But yeah, your life would change, though, living around or existing around women. Mm-hmm. Like, I think back on, like, when we was young, like, my mom really, like, you see all them seasonings and shit, and men just salt and pepper, a little garlic,
some seasoned salt.
Yeah. My cabinet stacked up.
Women get that shit crazy.
You ain't buy it.
I mean, I got a loving mother, though.
Like, yeah. She still washes clothes.
Yeah, my mom goes shopping for me. And girls be mad, like, oh, who you want to fuck, me or your mom? Like, why is your mom? Don't get mad at me because my mom love me.
And that's
like,
a shaming tactic.
Make sure I'm cool.
Yeah, that's a shaming tactic, though. To try to, like, get you off balance. That's a shaming tactic to get you off balance to where the things that you would rely on your mom for, you rely on her for. And then slowly but surely, you start looking up and then a half a drawer is taken. A drawer is taken. The closet is...
Now the door is hers. You got a key to the house.
You got a key to the crib. Like, you come in, she in there cooking bacon like brandy on my fucking thin line between...
Like, how the fuck you get a closet?
Like, yeah, we ain't doing that.
So it's like, you certain shit, you got to nip in... As a man, you got to nip in the bud. Like, certain, like,
bro,
little small needling progressive
sign,
shit.
Bro.
You got to get
that's
ahead
a
of
sign. The chick, when she just found the hookah joint under the couch. He explained it to her before me.
Yeah.
I said, Mark, hold up. You don't got to explain shit to her.
Right.
Like, you can leave. Like, it is what it is. Like, we ain't that. You super cool. You definitely cleaned the shit out of the house. And I appreciate you, but we're not that.
Fucking jerk.
But we just not that. Like, we never had an agreement or a conversation that you was my girl. I'm thinking about cuffing her for the winter, though.
Yo. You said I like her.
So I want to talk about y'all show before y'all get up out of here. How long y'all been doing y'all show?
Well, he started it. What?
I started in like 2018.
Like, he started it.
I ran across Tasha Mack. I don't know if y'all know her, but she used to do a lot of shit in the city, and she was doing a podcast. And like, I always watch podcasts. That's all I was doing, watching the Breakfast Club and just radio shit. And she like, why don't you just, you know what I mean, start it? And it's like, where I come from, don't nobody push you to do that type shit. You do any of that type shit, nigga, you a weirdo.
Yeah. Same way, like, if you rap, just anything different, you're a weirdo. But she pushed me to do that shit. We first started it. He came on a couple times. And then I quit that shit because his life got in the way.
And then shout out this to, nigga. Shout out to y'all because it was y'all though that like
y'all
that
was, inspired him.
Yeah, and I was like,
we did nothing for you.
Yeah, he never saw your shit.
Who are these niggas? Who are these niggas?
No, these niggas. Niggas. Yeah, I just met y'all today. I don't know y'all niggas. But look, y'all inspired this nigga, and like he's like a really irritating person,
mm-hmm.
but like DJ Khaled wise in a good way.
Yeah, so
he ain't letting me let up.
Yeah, positive irritation.
Yeah, yeah. Like. RB, we can do it. We
can do it. I'm calling like, nigga 7 o'clock in the morning.
I've got some other shit going on right now.
Nigga. I ain't trying to hear none of that shit you talk about.
He pushed me and we started, we revamped. Chad just one of the thoroughest niggas ever because
I don't make him like you no more.
It ain't too many niggas that's
they don't
like,
make him like you no more. Straight
that's
up.
Doing what you're doing and then just a little older than you, bro, and gonna give you the real game.
Mm-hmm. And we like, talked niggas about that today. We did a show about how like people don't understand the unity side. Yo. Like this content creation, everybody's fighting for like this imaginary real estate mm-hmm. in and around the city with this shit, and it just be like a burnout because it's like we could all get so much further.
We work together,
out, opening doors. Yeah. Like the craziest part is, shout out to Clint. When me and Clint were like, we was had like a whole issue on some other shit. Mm-hmm. We were doing our tour and we were going to a venue down in Virginia. Yep. Clint reached out to him and was like, yo, I deal with them. Watch them with this. Watch this when it comes to doing the, make sure you get an independent ticket check.
Yeah,
and this
run
and
your
the
own
third.
Ticket and, link and audit them and check their ticket link.
And me and Clint weren't even speaking. He's like, yeah, I'm going to call you. Fuck
sure.
that nigga.
Yeah.
But make sure that they're like, but that's real. And it's just like, you need people that are willing to do that and be like that when it comes to any type of industry.
Facts.
But we've created this nonsense atmosphere around this shit where it's like
just toxic.
Yeah, it's
shit.
Just toxic energy. Like it's just dumb.
Like you competing with it. We don't gotta compete.
And,
why we gotta compete? Because it's enough money for everybody.
I was having a conversation with my homie the other day. I'm like, yo, at the end of the day, I know where we at when it comes to this shit.
Exactly.
I know what we got going on. And I know a lot of people don't have that going on.
Facts.
And we're looking at our situation like, yo, how can we 7X this?
Yeah.
Because that's what we want. Mm-hmm. Like, this money cool, but it's like, you could 7-8X this. And if everybody kind of, like, got in line, you'd be surprised how fast you could 7-8X everybody's situation.
That's what I wanted to know as well, is, like, how did y'all all come on board with the same vision? Because it's hard to get niggas on board with, like, a far vision. Like, how do y'all all see the same thing and just
I know this is gonna sound as cheesy as possible, but like when you hear a song like God Did or God's Plan or some shit, it's like if you believe in the man above, everything is already written. So certain shit is just gonna happen by chance.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be walking down the street and meet somebody. You're gonna be in this situation and have that happen. It's just what it is. Like even today, like how you said, we reliving like our trajectory, and it's like, yo, what if we don't both get into Twitter at the same time? What if we don't end up living on the same damn street?
Right.
What if I don't pop my Achilles and I'm just chilling you at the crib? Like, a lot of little shit happened to where it's like, oh, you realize, like, you kind of, like, morally and, like, you kind of, like, align visually for what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certain shit just, it works
and
out.
For me, as a life ethic, I don't believe in, like, I don't believe in chance or like happenstance or luck, but I do believe in divine intervention. And what he's speaking to is there's a certain level of divine intervention of all the stars lining up and life lining up that creates certain opportunities. Because our initial relationship started from social media, then it evolved to being neighbors, then it evolved to through our personal conversation, knowing that we know a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. I'm slightly older than Matt. I'm like a year and a half older than him. He's mm-hmm. literally the same exact age as my brother. That's the same, you know what I'm saying? Right. That born in October, same. I'm the same amount of older than him as I am my brother.
I thought
brother.
Y'all niggas knew each other your whole life.
No. You think that, right?
But then you start making connections where it's like the people that are my age that was from his neighborhood was the older, slightly older niggas his neighborhood that was kicking up dust, and then we know these people and blah, blah, blah. And then he's hanging with these people, and then one of the people he was hanging with is, at the time was my cousin Phil, and all of this different stuff to where it's like, yo, we find all of this commonality, and then me and him started talking every day. You know what I'm saying? And then our conversation evolved into a group chat with me, him, and our homie Rod that worked for Spotify and The Ringer now, and those conversations was the basis of the podcast because we basically felt like, at least I did, we were creating a podcast already.
Right,
I'm like, yo, we record this same shit we're talking about. this is a fucking podcast. And I'm like, and then when the voice note shit came out, then we really kicked it into high gear because now we, you know, in between him on the bus or at the gym or whatever, or Ra at the gym or DJing or whatever, or working at Rock Nation, whatever, whatever, we're constantly in communication and passing these notes along. And it would be times where we all busy in the group chat to die, and then it take one little topic or one social media thing to get the joint back popping again, and then it go back up. You know what I'm saying? And Ra was dope enough to, one, lend himself to us in terms of, like, his technical services and graphic design and all of that shit, but he also felt like, yo, y'all niggas is more skilled at talking and orating than I am. I'm gonna get out y'all way. I'm gonna support y'all. I'm gonna come appear when necessary, when it's relevant shit to my bigger life mission, but I ain't gotta be there every week to be a part of TRPE. You know what I'm saying? And that was the whole thing. And it's like, yo, because of that, we assembled like a cast of characters and friends of recurring people, special guests, interviews, and it's like over time, the fact that number one, we educated ourselves, and two, that we didn't stop, created this thing where people were proud to be a part of it and say, oh, I'm glad I went on TRPE and shit like that. It became like a pride point for a lot of people.
It's a come up show couch right here. Like so I made it, Kev.
We definitely made it.
We made it, Kev.
I ain't gonna lie, we definitely thought this couch was way bigger. Y'all catfishing.
Couchfish.
We actually did have a couch, the gray one.
Gray John was like,
what the fuck?
Mega couch. But yeah, when I saw what y'all was doing and I saw that y'all was consistent with it and y'all had like momentum, I reached out and I was like, yo, I'm here for y'all. Like, I like what y'all doing. I watched the show. I fuck with it. It's dope. It's original, most importantly. Yes. Y'all got, you know, counterbalancing personalities that like balance each other out and shit like that. And I like the fact that y'all do what y'all want and say what the fuck y'all want. I was like, so if I could be of assistance to y'all, like, let me know. I'll come on the show. I'll help y'all with this, this, and this, whatever, whatever. And then one thing, one appearance turned into two appearances on the show the same night or whatever. So we did double, ended up doing double content.
Bro, we had this nigga. Listen. I said, yo, this nigga good.
look,
it got to a point, bro. If you peep, I'm just picking your brain. I'm just asking.
Bro, that shit got 13,000 views on my TikTok. Yo, 13,000. I said, Chad was talking that shit. Fuck all that. You got my mom watching this. She said, that light skin guy is good. I was like, Mom, I'm good too.
What you talking about? Fuck you, son. That nigga?
I'm like, I said, you better not like him. He ain't Chad. Don't go to Houston no more, Chad. She said, yo, he is good. She said, he know councilman such and such. And da-da-da. I said, Mom,
man, the nigga just got an answer for every question.
No bullshit.
And part of what I'm most proud about me and this guy right here about is that, number one, we take the time to educate ourselves, and that way we become data miners, where it's like we are like competing with one another with like something interesting something that we can bring to the table and break.
Y'all my news, no bullshit. I don't even watch the news, bro. I listen to y'all.
Like, care that y'all might. Like, I just seen y'all talking crazy about one of these old rapper niggas that I never heard about. But it's like, do y'all ever care to, like, because y'all, I feel like y'all going to make it big. And it's like, do y'all care that you might encounter some of these people? And it's like, nigga, I ain't doing nothing with you, nigga. I watch that shit.
I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing here is ever done from a place of disrespect.
Or malice.
Or malice.
Yeah, but y'all being honest, but y'all know these niggas tender.
But the reality is this, again, God's plan. If it's not meant to be, it's just not meant to be. It's nothing I could do or say about that. But this show has become a staple of giving people their flowers for being great and for being absolutely ridiculous. So it's like, if you put that ridiculous shit out, like, you, like, Safari knew he put them Gatorade Jordans on with that Gatorade coat and then picked that Gatorade up and was like, oh, you knew this was goofy when you did this shit.
No, he did that freestyle Charlamagne said that shit.
Like, Charlamagne said that shit ain't it. Like, you know what's up. Yeah. Ray J know he bought that baby on stage at the Versus. You know you ridiculous. Remember when Ray J did the joint, he kept changing the hat? Remember the hat kept moving? Like, so it's like at the end of the day,
can bid on y'all, basically.
Like, at the end of the day, you're not above pop culture if you're part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially if you're creating these viral moments where it's like, we ain't the only ones talking about the shit. The world is talking about
now,
it.
Now, at the end of the day, there are people who go out of their way to, like, antagonize or diss.
Yeah, just
and
keep
we,
on.
I don't think we do that. Like, I don't think we have any one person where it's a constant going in and tearing apart.
Yeah.
For the Nas shit that I did, huh?
Like how Shaq did JaVale McGee that time. Like,
right. He made JaVale McGee the main character.
And, that got to a point where JaVale McGee is like, yo, what's the real issue?
His mom.
And his mom's like, yo, Shaq, what's mom. And it's just like, oh, well, no, we just having a little too much fun. I apologize about that. Like, even for the Nas shit that I did a couple weeks ago, if Nas was to hear that shit, it's like, you hear it in me talking. Like, nigga, I'm a Nas fan.
Yeah.
I can rap Nas lyrics with Nas because I love Nas.
He as disappointed you.
My thing is, this Magic 2 shit, I'm just overhearing this type of rap. You watch Nas, like, and funny, we just did a show where we talked about the Hip Hop 50.
Right.
Nas bringing out Cool G rap, but the Jonas, like, here we go again. Whereas, like, motherfuckers is mad that Jay didn't come. And Jay is like, I got a meeting at Bounty, nigga. Like,
listen, y'all be wanting motherfuckers to uphold, like, a certain culture or, like, a certain time in the culture and embrace these older motherfuckers that people like me or even the younger niggas really don't give a fuck about. But then it's like, oh, so we just gonna shit on them.
What you mean?
Like, we just not gonna really respect them. Like, they got missing teeth now. They might have felt subjected to some drugs and shit. Like,
we literally just talked about that. Like, the looking at the pioneers of rap, and it's just like, damn, they caught a bad break because they came in at a time where the money hadn't made itself yet in the rap industry. And they, while they are legends for their songs and for their movements, they didn't get the just do or the compensation. So that's why when you heard Jay-Z say shit like, you know, I'm overcharging niggas for what they did to the Cold Crush. Like, that's a real thing. That really happened. So, you know, that's the reason why they almost want us to, like, if nothing else, just show the utmost respect.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do is just respect motherfuckers. Like, if I looked up to you once as a kid, bro, I still want to see you as that. Even though you got missing teeth now, you stink.
But here's the thing.
I'm still going to look at you like I looked up to you at one point in my life, and you kind of got a part in my life that helped me
here's the flip side to that. Looking at someone from yesteryear with a certain level of adoration is understandable. The problem is if you're still competing in the game. The only reason people say that a player is past his prime is when he's still playing. No one goes out there and says Barry Sanders is past his prime because he don't play.
Right.
But every time LeBron do some shit or fall apart, it's just like, oh, man, how long are we going to keep this up? Because you're still out there. So in Nas's case, you're still out here. If you legitimately were on your 50 Cent right now, look at 50. 50 just sold 1 million tickets for his tour. He just hit 1 million tickets sold the other day. Like, 50's on one big of the player. Best reunion tour runs maybe
and
ever.
And they say he giving the best performance ever.
But let's really think about it. Get Rich or Die Trying was probably the biggest movement in like the last 25 years of rap. That G-Unit movement was absolutely, it stopped Ja Rule in its tracks.
No bullshit.
Dead in its tracks. So it's like the G-Unit wave was absolutely insane. And because of that, people hold on to that moment. Did you see 50 board out the baby the other day and the baby was dressed like G-Unit 50 with the bulletproof vest, the Yankee hat, and the durag? It's like it was a moment. Yeah. So because of that and the fact that you haven't never really, I don't remember a time where 50 was ever on no big ass tour. Nope. But now it's like, yo, you having a moment to really grandstand. But understand, 1 million tickets didn't get sold for new 50.
No, fuck no.
Nobody's coming to hear, you know, the theme song to fucking Power. No, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but honestly, I feel like that's why you got to keep your name clean out here. Don't do none of just fuck your character up, bro. And people won't always kind of like, right, it's 50.
Like, it's more so what I'm saying where it's like, look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z goes into concerts and performances now, and Jay's performing new music. Jay is honestly the anomaly where Jay go to a concert, you be goddamned if you think you about to hear Ain't No Nigga or Nigga What Nigga Who or Hey Poppy.
He's only performing shit from Blueprint 3 to now.
If you think you go to a Jay concert and you about to hear Somebody's Girl Is At This Party, you got another thing
you
coming.
Just said, he's an anomaly, bro. You can't compare niggas to
Understand what I'm saying, though. When you look at a Snoop Dogg or a 50 Cent or Eminem or any of them, when you talk about them as an artist or as a performer, it's for the shit they've done. Mm-hmm. Nas is in a weird space where he's an old nigga, but people like his new shit almost more than they like the old shit. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Nas just won a Grammy. He just won a Grammy for King's Disease 3. It was the first Grammy he ever fucking won as a rap Best Rap Album. Nas didn't win a Grammy for Illmatic or for fucking Stillmatic or for fucking I Am. Whereas Jay won the Grammy 20 years ago for fucking Hard Knock Life. These niggas won Grammys years ago. They've been solidified in that point. So Nas is honestly just in that, he's in a more rare space than anybody. Because he's, like, think about it. Nas dropped 5 albums in, like, the last 3 years.
No bullshit.
And everybody's like, oh, King's Disease 1 is great. King's Disease 3 is great. Magic is all of that. But it's like, Magic 2 hit, and it's just like, it's more of the same shit.
It starts to feel like he's running out of material. Yeah. To your point about, like, you know, our editorial and how we speak about people and shit like that, I just said this on another show, but my best and worst quality is the same shit. I can't be fake. That's my best quality. That's my worst quality. So if all I can go off of is what you show me, we're not sitting here digging below the surface trying to find or uncover something or find the dirt, because it's like, if you investigate anybody, you're going to find some shit. Yeah. One of my principles in life I live by is, if you go looking for something, you're going to find it. So at the end of the day, it's like, it's all done like as a point of like conjecture, and it's like lighthearted. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not here with no agenda, where it's like you see people coming to the mic every week, and it's like, no matter what they're talking about, they find a way to tie it back to whoever their op is, and they throwing them under the bus for the 88 week in a row.
For as much as it seemed like I might have went off on Nas, if Nas do a show tomorrow, I'm going. Because I'm a Nas fan.
Right.
You watch people go to their microphone every week where they got paperwork. Now, let me expose this nigga. And we don't do none of that shit. We just talk about pop culture and what's going on. So it's like, if you feel away for the moment, you'll probably in 2 weeks when we bigging you up for some shit you did, you'll feel.
Like, I knew about a beef between, this is how solid we keep it. I knew about a beef between two, like, huge Philadelphia artists. Pause. Like, the biggest rappers in the city, these niggas had a real beef that was turning into like some street shit, where like OG niggas was getting involved in all of that. And I came to the show and kind of spoke around it, but I refused to name names. And that was 3 years ago. And I still haven't never said what it is. Like, I could have been breaking news in that aspect, because the story was so big that it would have went everywhere.
Right, it's like...
I understand how fragile life in the city is and how treacherous shit can get. And it's like, all it takes is one viral clip for somebody that's going to want to feel like, I'm going to make my name off this shit and I'm going to jump out the fucking window. And then either one of these niggas get shot or shot at or whatever, whatever. And then I'm partially responsible for that shit.
Listen. I had moments like that to where, like, what you're saying, I was getting too caught up in, like, just trying to get clicks and shit, bro. And it's like, it was real street shit going on.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, somebody got murdered. And I'm like, I got a nigga coming on the joint, like, and I said something about it. I said something about him telling on a nigga who murdered the nigga. And it's like, kind of went too far. But the interview, like, he rapping shit. So it's like, I started off with the rap shit. We got into, because a lot of people around the way, like, you know how niggas is, man, that nigga a rat. They ain't gonna say it to his face.
Yeah,
I asked the nigga right there. Bro, did you tell on a nigga? He told the story, said what he had to say. We ain't really digging to it, but it's like, you got to be, like, on point with that shit, because it's like, you digging up old memories. Like, that's somebody, family member that died and shit. And it's like, that shit was just a talk of the neighborhood. That's why I was telling him, like, bro, I'm falling back a little bit, because it's like, it was just a lot of heat on me after that shit.
And the old adage is, old feelings die hard. Yeah. So it's like, when you start reigniting certain shit, especially like the most extreme version of violence, where somebody loses their life, even just talking around it sometimes could be too much, because it stirs up all these old feelings, and the niggas be like, oh no, nah, we do owe so-and-so.
Something for that.
And it can just ignite all of these fucking wars, and you just gotta be very careful, because even when you think like, yo, you a micro creator or a medium-sized creator or whatever,
somebody gonna see some shit. Yeah.
That's all gonna be one to like.
And you never know who's watching.
You never know.
And you never know who's on the other side of that message.
Bro. It's like, motherfucker might see you, you don't know them. Oh, nigga, you said it. You was with it. Look. When Oskino came on, he talking about niggas that told on him. He right there with it. Oh, yeah, I heard old head was a rat. I'm like this.
I was drunk, though, drinking, girl. I done heard the story. Bro, I'm like, fuck.
That. Like, he told on you. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Yeah. I'm not getting it.
It's definitely a level of social responsibility that comes with curating a platform that where it's like, you got to maintain objectivity at all times. Like, I just seen a situation unfold with Adam 22, where this motherfucker literally got the call from the niggas with the paperwork. Fucking gave the niggas with the paperwork 1090 Jake number, did an interview with the nigga who paperwork it was, 03 Greedo, then turn around and interview 1090 Jake,
man, somebody
as the rebuttal to what 03 Greedo said. I'm like, that's bro, you shit. Just monetized the full string of black dysfunction unapologetically.
But it's like, why are everybody feeding into these white boys and going on these white boys' platforms and letting them exploit us?
Yeah, it's messy.
That shit.
Toxic as shit.
I ain't do nothing to that extent.
It's messy, man. But yeah, I think the main lesson here today we could talk about is like, you know, social responsibility with your platform and, you know, how you present certain messages and talking to and around certain things and certain people can end up damaging your platform and putting you in the crosshairs as opposed to like making it about what it is about, which is the content and the fucking message.
Right.
But we definitely appreciate y'all coming through today, man. These guys got a live show coming up this Saturday, August 19th. It's all sold out. But
after party too, we turning the
after party up. At Frame. Me and Dan gonna be out and about.
Matt, you coming? You know what I'm
saying? No, fuck that. You already said. All right, you already said you coming to the show because you want to see him produce.
Yeah, I'm gonna come to the show.
Come on, bro, you gotta come to after party. You gotta mob with us, man, for like an hour.
Where are we mobbing at?
You gotta get the vibes. Like,
I don't even know where it's
Frame. What's that second and
222 Market Street?
Yeah, 222 Market Street.
Yeah, so these Saturday they got a live show that's all the way sold out.
On 50 but Thompson.
come out afterwards. Come out after the live show after City Winery.
He's doing coke. He said, "You want a party?"
Yes, you are. I just walk right across the street. Like, nah. So
come out after the live show. Come out, celebrate. The live show selling out and all of these guys success, they 100 episode, all of that at Frame on 222 Market Street. Mm-hmm. So y'all can pay at the door, and if you got tickets to the show, you get discounted.
It's free.
No, it's free. We free.
Oh, free to the door.
Yeah, it's free to the
door. No money from y'all, man. Yeah. It's free.
Oh, that's love. We giving back.
Just buy the bar.
Y'all some nice podcast.
These niggas paying it out.
No, but we you know what? I want to say this though. It's good to like to have a conversation because Chad, we was gonna do this the same weekend y'all was gonna do it. Yeah. But we had a conversation and Chad, I'm like, Chad, I'm gonna do it for my birthday weekend. Chad said, you know what? Wait, we about to have a big weekend. So, you know, that communication shit is real good. Yeah. Cause we could all fucked up and just been trying to chase money and shit. Like, no, that was so good that you could have a communication with people and shit.
Yeah,
you wanna turn up with y'all, Jules?
Yeah, we coming
to
y'all.
It's always I put y'all down for a section for reserve. I remember y'all niggas said that.
So. Yeah, I did. My birthday the 27th.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's my birthday. Yeah,
You know, I'm just a big proponent of collaboration over competition. Like I said, I recognize what y'all was doing. I love the consistency. I liked y'all POV. I liked y'all editorial. And I like that y'all didn't give a fuck. And the fact that y'all was, you know, coming to the podcast every week with different energy, different type of guests, different line of questioning or whatever. And, you know, y'all took my advice. You know what I'm saying? I tend to think I give out great advice, especially when it comes to this shit. Not everybody listens or applies it. And y'all applied everything I told y'all, and y'all kicking ass as a result of it. So I'm super duper proud of y'all. Please give everybody y'all social media where they can find y'all and where they can find the pod at.
Mark is the bottom. fly bitch out quick, fast, and easy. I'm changing. I'm broke now, baby. but I'm fucked
up. Listen, man. Follow me on the gram, RB__35. You mean the original big old player? Follow the podcast. Let's keep it 100 on Instagram.
Everything spelled correctly. Let's keep it number 100 podcast.
All social, all platforms now.
Make sure y'all subscribe to their YouTube if y'all watching us on YouTube. Make sure y'all subscribe to us if y'all over YouTube. Y'all be watching these videos, not subscribing to
run
the
them YouTube numbers up, man.
Yeah, we trying to get monetized.
Y'all just want
to
look at us and you mean be on some weird shit, bro. Subscribe.
We out.
Peace.
Matt must got a date.
Nah.